Hello, and welcome to the American Humane Fireside Chat. My name is Monique, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note, this call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. I will now hand you over to your host, Robin Gansert, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique, and welcome, friends, to our sixth Fireside Chat for our special friends of American Humane. I'm Robin Gansert, the President and CEO, and I'm so thrilled to spend this special time with each of you as we share our love for animals. It's hard to believe, but it was so many years ago that Franklin Delano Roosevelt began his famous series of radio addresses he called his Fireside Chats. That was during the time when the nation faced one of its most challenging crises, the Great Depression. And those radio addresses really brought America together, brought us hope, and certainly brought us love. Today, as we weather another unbelievable crisis, we at American Humane wanted to use that same method, the Fireside Chat, to bring together Americans with a common sense of purpose. And what purpose is more noble than protecting the animals, the voiceless in our society? And that's what we've been doing at American Humane now for 143 years. Friends, today we have the most uplifting Fireside Chat for our sixth celebration of spending time together. Our good friend, an animal lover, an incredible gentleman who is just the epitome of compassion and kindness, is the Emmy-winning television star, tastemaker, celebrity stylist, New York Times best-selling author, and fashion designer Carson Kressley. Carson, welcome to our Fireside Chat.
Thank you so much, Robin. That was such a nice introduction. I was like, who is she talking about? He sounds amazing.
You are amazing.
That's me. I'm just okay. I'm hanging.
Oh, Carson, we love you so much. And I love your line, you're out to make over our world. My friend, we have an incredibly challenging world that we need to have makeover, right?
I just want to turn off 2020 and reboot it and start over. It's just been so challenging. And, you know, I'm very grateful that at least my family and my friends and myself are all healthy. And, you know, I think that's really important right now, too, is to, you know, count your blessings and look on the bright side of things. There's so much bad stuff. And I know people are out of work. All of us in showbiz are, too. And, you know, there's lots of bad stuff happening. So I try to focus on the good stuff. I have time to spend with my animals, and I've got my health and my community. And that's, I think, what we have to focus on right now, and just take one day at a time and try to find the little things that bring you joy. Mine is blueberry cobbler. I just ate a bucket of it. I'm cooking a lot. It's just, you know, I'm learning to appreciate little things that bring joy in these, you know, somewhat dark. And also, you know, I think what's so terrible about this is that we just don't know how long it's going to last and where it's going to lead. So it's the unknown that is hard to grapple with.
Yes, that's right, the unknown. And I loved what you said, reboot 2020. I think many of us were looking at a new decade, the roaring 20s kind of theme that so many celebrated on New Year's Eve as we hit 2020. And boy, rebooting it would be wonderful, because it is such an unknown. I love the fact, too, that you are enjoying blueberry cobbler. That always makes everyone smile. Would you be willing to share us your recipe for a great cobbler?
Yeah, I am at my family's farm, and it is in the middle of Pennsylvania Dutch country. And I always joke that I'm practically Amish. I'm Amish adjacent. And this is an old-fashioned cobbler. And you basically make a pie crust, whichever recipe you like. And then you cut that into squares that are about 2 inches by 2 inches, and you bake half of the pie crust until it's cooked but not brown, and you line a 9 by 13 pan with some of the squares, and then you could add whatever fruit you like, peaches or blueberries or apple or whatever. I used blueberries, and 1 cup of sugar. You could use brown sugar, and some cinnamon and some nutmeg, and it's very easy. You mix that up, and you pour that over the pastry squares, and then you do another layer with some pastry squares, and then another layer of fruit, and then you top it off with a pie crust on top in your big square pan, and it's just, it's about three layers of flaky pastry that's bubbly and gooey and baked with the blueberries or the peaches or whatever you use, and it's really... You have to do some ice cream with it because it's a little, like, crusty. So ice cream or milk with it is just fantastic. So I will be – I'll be a little pudgy, but it's okay. I think a lot of us will be.
That's right.
It's all right.
That's exactly right. I love that. We're going to share Carson Kressley's blueberry cobbler recipe. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with all of us. And I also – wanted to note, too, I love the fact that you said, you know, your priorities were animals, health, and community. Tell us a lot about your animals that you're with, that you're quarantining with.
Yeah, I am so lucky. I know how lucky I am. I'm extremely grateful to be at my farm because I can be around my horses. We have about 22 horses, some dogs, and some cats here on the farm. And it's about 200 acres, and we're just now coming into spring. So one of the things I've been grateful for is I'm normally traveling so much, I don't really get to notice the seasons. I will, you know, leave for a job, and then I'll maybe be in New York for a bit, and then I'll come back, and I'll be like, wow, it's but now I'm getting to really enjoy spring popping out and being with the horses. And most of them are American saddlebred, either retired show horses or mamas and babies, and then some trail horses we have, and some American quarter horses that my niece uses for barrel racing. So we have a variety, and I've just been riding out on the trails and, you know, seeing deer, and I saw a wild turkey, I saw a fox. Just riding around the farm, and my horses are just like, oh my God, is he back again? They literally are like in the field, like eating, and they're like, act like you don't see him. And they're like, chomp, 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 don't make eye contact. He wants to ride again. Just act like you don't know who he is. And I have my bribery carrots, and I snap them so they hear that sound, which, you know, they're like, Pavlov's dog, they, as soon as they hear the snapping carrot, they're like, wait a minute, this could be good. Let's go see what he wants. And then the herd gathers around me, and they all want carrots, and it's a feeding frenzy, and then I usually grab the one that I want to ride and bring that one in. And but, you know, it's such a great relaxing experience. And I tell people horses are so therapeutic, even in times when we're not, you know, as stressed out as we are right now, being around horses requires a sense of stillness and calm, and you must move slowly and methodically and quietly, and it really forces you to be present. You can't be thinking about, you know, lunch or work when you're trying to be safe and connect with the horse, especially when you're riding. You have to be ready at every minute. And I always say it's so relaxing being on a horse and trying not to die. That's ironic, but it is very therapeutic for me. So it's always been a great way for me to disconnect from showbiz and Hollywood and work and the craziness of New York City and the rat race. So now it's especially helpful, and one of the blessings of this is that I get to be there a lot, and I get to spend a lot of time with my horses that I haven't in a long time. So that's something I'm actually thankful for, and it's a silver lining.
That is a silver lining. And you've had quite the show career with your horses, your saddlebreds. My goodness, when do you think we'll ever be able to show again?
Again, I'm so lucky that I have some horses at home. I do have two show horses that I compete with that are not on my property. Some are in Kentucky and some are not that far away, but, you know, those barns are closed. And the U.S. Equestrian Federation you know, our governing body for, you know, horse shows and equestrian sports in America, you know, is keeping us updated. And, you know, right now it's going month by month. I think it's, you know, we're at like May 15th or May 31st that there'll be no competitions until then. So we're just playing it by ear. And I'm, you know, my horses are in great shape. They're going to be so ready to hit the show ring. Saddle horses love attention, and they love to travel. They love to go to the horse shows. They ride around in a nicer car, you know, truck than I have. And I think they really miss it, but they're going to be raring to go when we do start. So hopefully midsummer, with some social distancing and the right precautions, we can at least it's a sport made for social distancing because you can't really get too close to somebody else on horseback. So I hope we will be up and running soon. And I do feel tremendously for our horse professionals, our trainers, our veterinarians, our horse show officials, judges, stewards, ring crews that have, you know, we're expecting to have a summer full of work and are now uncertain as to when they will return. So there's some great charities. The Joint Leadership Council of the United Professional Horsemen's Association has a great emergency COVID-19 fund that you can check out by going to United Professional Horsemen's Association on the web. So yeah, so that's a little bit of community too. I'm very lucky that I have a horse community that we're rallying around our professionals, and also just a sense of community gives you some calm, and you know you have friends that are in the same boat. So,
right,
that's what I've been up to.
That's huge, and I know you also have a home in New York, you know, in the city. And what are you hearing from friends right at the epicenter of the coronavirus crisis? How are they doing?
Yeah, they are hanging in there. And it's, you know, I've lived in New York more than I've lived any other place. I was just thinking about this. I graduated from college, like I think it was like May 5th, 1991. And on May 6th, I was on a bus going to New York City to move there. And I remember getting off and I was like Peggy Sawyer from the musical 42nd Street. I didn't know which way 42nd Street even went. I was like, is that the Hudson? They're like, no, that's the East River. Turn around. So I've been there for 29 years, I guess. And, you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, but by the time I was, you know, 18, I was kind of in college, and then 21. And then I moved to New York. So New York, it will always feel like home to me. It is the most strong, resilient, gritty, fabulous, amazing city in the world, in my opinion. And I was there and lived through 9/11. And this reminds me a little bit of that, in that the city, instead of crumbling, has become more unified and stronger. And that's what I've been seeing, and seeing people rallying every night at 7 p.m. to thank our medical workers, our nurses, our doctors, our EMS teams, and our police and firefighters and EMTs. That's the spirit of New York that, you know, keeps you buoyed in hope. And my friends there, thank God, are all doing well. We have a 5 o'clock happy hour every Friday where we, you know, crack open the Pinot Grigio and the salty comments.
I love it.
I get together with my crew, and they're all in their apartments, and I'm usually like, you know, in the barn, or there's a horse over my shoulder, and they're like, "Who are you?"
they're all like, jealous.
I turned into Zsa Zsa Gabor from Green Acres. I mean, I'm in a fancy outfit, you know, shushing chickens off my lawn chairs.
Oh, I adore that. I adore that. Well, Carson, we all adore you. And you were sharing with me before we started our fireside chat that you had just been in Montreal with a new show. Can you tell us a little bit about the new show you'll be in?
Yeah, it's actually a show that's been doing really, really well.
And
it's on ABC Family, which is now called Freeform, and it's called The Bold Type. And and it's a sassy young adult comedy about a fashion magazine. So I have a surprise cameo that I can't tell you too much about in the upcoming season. So they're an amazing cast and crew, and they've won a lot of awards. I think this is their, I don't know, maybe fourth season. So any show that gets a couple of seasons and some renewals in this particular era is a success. I'm very thrilled to be a part of that. And of course, we have RuPaul's Drag Race, which is airing right now every Friday on VH1. And the funny thing about that is, you know, this is my family farm. So the people I've been seeing are basically, after I self-quarantined for 2 weeks, I started to see my 84-year-old. And we watched Drag Race together on Fridays. And it's a very different experience from watching it at Mickey's in West Hollywood. And, it's so funny. My dad, you know, loves beautiful women, and he doesn't care if maybe they're not authentically female. And my mom just marvels at their makeup. She's like, I can't believe how gorgeous they are. And that's a man. And I'm like, yep, that is, Mom. Their commentary during the show is priceless and should be recorded for Mystery Science Theater Drag Edition.
Well, it's almost like
comments are,
yes,
it's very funny.
I love that. I love that. I do love you on RuPaul's Drag Race. That's a fantastic show, and it does make us all smile and gets our mind off of some of the real world things that we're going through right now. Well, Carson, we are so thrilled. You've been a champion of American Humane and a champion of animals for forever, and we're so grateful for your being having your platform to share compassion, kindness, and love. And in your honor today, we're going to rush out a Feed the Hungry grant to your favorite animal or rescue shelter group in your honor to thank you for, again, sharing your voice for the animals today with all of us. So let us know what's your favorite rescue or shelter group, and
thank
we'll be proud to give them a grant.
Wonderful. Yes, I will. I'm going to do that for my local hometown animal shelter, which is the Lehigh County Humane Society. So that's in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I've adopted many family pets. As a kid, we would always go there and get our dogs. And I would love to support them right now, because they really, you know, so many shelters need additional support right now.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we will rush them out the funds in your honor, Carson, and thank you, you know, again, for all you do for animals. Any final thoughts or words? Because, again, you're so uplifting to all of us. What final thoughts, as people have been quarantining now for many, many, many weeks?
Oh, well, I just, you know, let's look on the bright side. If we have to quarantine a little bit longer, it gives us more time to not wear pants. I've just been walking around in a top and underwear this entire time. I do all of my Skypes and my Zooms. I never get up. And it's been so easy breezy, literally. So look on the bright side. But hopefully we'll have a reason to put on pants and head outdoors before we know it.
I love it. I love it. That's right. Another few weeks maybe of no pants, so that's great. Well, Carson, from behalf of all of us at American Humane, we love and adore you, and thank you for all you do for the animals.
Thank you for all you guys do, Robin. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, friends, you have just been enjoying our Six Fireside Chat with the incredible tastemaker, Carson Kressley, out to make over our world. And we're so thrilled that Carson's in our world and in the world for animals, too. So thank you, Carson, again. And friends, again, you'll be staying tuned to our next Fireside Chat with another special friend of American Humane. Thank you for joining us. Again, God bless America, and God bless American Humane.